Now, Corey Kelly was born in Brisbane in Australia on March 19th, which means he'll be 6 months old this weekend. And Corey is blissfully unaware of the very emotional time his parents have had since his birth. His parents, Claire and Darren, are on the line from their home in Brisbane. How are you doing, Claire?
Hey, Ray. How are you?
Good. And how are you, Darren?
How are you, Ray? How's things?
Good. So 6 months. So is there a big celebration for his half year, Claire?
I think just family time, to be honest.
Yeah. And the importance of family has been really brought home to you over the last 6 months. Where do we start? I suppose, what brought you to Australia, Darren? First question.
Oh, look, myself and Claire met nearly 11 years ago, and I think we both wanted a change in life and a change in pace and something new and different. And both Claire and I wanted to do a bit of travelling, and we just decided we'd start somewhere, and why not Australia, the furthest point from Ireland possible,
right,
to start with, you know.
And Claire, was a blind date, I believe.
Yeah, it was actually, yeah. I was told he was a bit of a Hugh Jackman lookalike, so we went on that one, and it worked out well in the end.
Was it love at first sight?
Yeah, I would say it was.
Ah, that's lovely. So you've been together now 10, 11 years. When did you get married?
We got married on the 10th of November 2017, so it'll be 3 years this year.
In Australia?
In Australia, yeah, up in Noosa.
Right. And you went about starting a family then, and tell us a little bit about baby Zach.
Baby Zach. So baby Zach was a very special little boy. He was conceived after the wedding, right. And we actually found out we were pregnant on the honeymoon.
Right.
Which, funny enough, was on a cruise ship. So considering this COVID started by cruise liners in Australia, coming to Australia, we were only, you know, the year previous or 2 years previous on a cruise liner and had a great time. Mm. But Zach was, you know, I don't think he was ever meant to stay on this earth. And he was our firstborn little boy. We had him at 19 weeks and 5 days. And we delivered him, and he's our angel baby. So he's very special to us.
Uh-huh. So then, Darren, when Claire got pregnant again, this was extra special for you both.
Oh, it was, yeah, without a doubt. You know, it was a day me and Claire were trying to remember for Zach, actually, when she told me she was pregnant. We climbed a mountain in the hinterlands and just outside the Gold Coast here in Queensland. And Claire, when we got up onto the top of the mountain, decided to take out lunch and a pregnancy test. So I nearly fell off the mountain, to be honest with you.
Which came first, the sandwich or the test?
the test actually came out. I don't think I was able to eat the sandwich after I seen the test, to be honest.
Yeah. And because of your experience with Zach, of course, it became very, I suppose, very emotional that you were pregnant again.
Yeah, it was, it was one of them times where, you know, you have that uncertainty still hangs over your head after what you go through, the years previous, you know, so you're always sort of thinking the worst but hoping the best, you know.
And extra important, I suppose, because your mum had been diagnosed with cancer, Darren.
She was, yeah. So, believe it or not, as soon as I found out, she was next in line to find out. She found out just after we came down from our treks, and I let her know, and, you know, the one thing she always said is she just hoped she made it to meet Corey, you know.
And when she got her diagnosis, was it terminal? Was she told it was terminal?
Yeah, at the time she got her diagnosis, she was diagnosed straight away with stage four. So it was the rough end of cancer that I didn't know much about cancer at the time. My younger sister had gone through lymphoma, but she recovered well. She was diagnosed early, so thank God she recovered really well. But when I heard my mum had it and it was stage four, it was just one of them things that it's very, very hard to take, you know.
So this was going in parallel, your mum's illness and your pregnancy, the two E.
Absolutely, yeah.
How did your communication back and forth? Were you were probably doing Skype ahead of the rest of us and all sorts
of
things.
Yeah, look, we were more FaceTime than that now. Right. So yeah, it's I actually got my mum an iPhone and sent it across to her. So she learned pretty quickly that when I called, it was easy just to press the green button and answer, and FaceTime there, she could see us all, you know.
Yeah. So Claire, she was seeing you and getting bigger.
She was, yeah. We used to have the morning phone calls on the way into work.
Yeah, yeah. And she made a specific request.
Yes, she did. Yeah, Jer was never really somebody who would make a request. She was, she probably was always more of a giver than a taker in life. But she was an amazing woman. And we knew that when we actually had lost Zach, it was actually the weekend that I lost Zach was the weekend that she was actually going in because she was feeling dizzy in her head. And it was actually, that was the initial time she found out that the tests had to go further, and they originally found out she had cancer. So it was only 6 weeks after we actually had lost Zach that Darren actually flew home for his first visit home to see his mum. So we feel, I suppose, Zach and Jer and now Corey has just been in alignment. She was, you know, after, I suppose, seeing us lose our first baby, you know, her heart was broken, and she really wanted to see, you know, Darren's, you know, living child.
Yeah.
And yeah, Corey came along, and she was just so, so happy that she, you know, was still here come March this year. So yeah, it was sort of one of them things. I kind of knew in my heart of hearts that I wouldn't have been happy if I didn't go back and bring our son to meet his nanny. Darren had gone back in January and spent some quality time with her, which was great, but I was heavily pregnant, so I was unable to fly at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So he went back in January, and then it was sort of, we had Corey, and then COVID hit, and then, you know, it was make or break. It was the phone call from his sister to say, look, you know, she doesn't feel like she has too long left, and we should, you know, maybe make our decision. So we did.
And that must have been a tough decision, Darren. Although you had been back in January, you know, it's your mum. You're never going to see her alive again. So both he couldn't go. Was that it? Or both he couldn't afford to go? Or
no,
what was it?
It was basically the way it was. I had a couple of long discussions with my sisters who I'd be really close to, you know, and they were very close to the oncology team that were dealing with my mother. My mother, she's such a good woman. She really was, you know. She got on so well with the people in the oncology team as well. But when cancer like this sort of hits, nobody really wants to give you an answer, because it leaves you in that position where they could give you the wrong answer and you question them then. But my mum, she sort of knew that she didn't have long left to live, and the oncology team didn't really answer any of our questions about whether she had weeks or months left. We did get a couple of answers where, you know, they said they didn't see her making out probably the end of July to the start of August. So at that time, me and Claire said, let's get you home. Let's get Claire and Corey home late May, which gives them, you know, a few weeks with my mother in a good, decent health. You know, yes, she was bedbound. Yes, she wasn't able to get around, but she was still there. She was still my mother, you know.
Yeah.
My plan was when my mother deteriorated that I'd go over. The main reason why is because restriction in Australia was, if I left the country and if I came back, say I left for 2 weeks, came back, I had 2 weeks of quarantine to do when I got back here in a hotel, compulsory, no ifs, ands or buts about it. I didn't want to leave Ireland and be on a plane and find out my mother had passed. So what I was trying to do was, you know, hedge me bets and sort of
time it,
try and get over at the time just before it happened, you know.
Yeah.
But it just didn't work that way, unfortunately.
So Claire, you arrived over with Corey, and that must have been a lovely, it wasn't a reunion, it was an introduction.
Yeah, it was. It was a surprise. So we didn't actually tell her. It's not funny, but we didn't want to kill her with the surprise. and Jer would laugh at that herself. But no, I think, you know, we wanted to surprise her, and the best way to do that as well is just to make sure we got on that flight, we got there safely, and we went straight down to Clara, where she was being cared for by her family and her you know, especially her two daughters and her husband. So pretty much got off the flight and I went down and actually stayed with Darren's family immediately. So that's where I actually stayed for 2.5, nearly 3 weeks.
Yeah.
And I just stayed with his family and spent most mornings pretty much waking up and her spending time with Corey.
Ah, lovely. And there's great pictures of Granny and little Corey. Yeah.
There's lots of pictures and an amazing, amazing video. Yeah, it was one of the best surprises I've ever given anyone in my life.
And you have that on camera?
We do, yeah.
Ah,
yeah,
and to make it even better, Ray, I was FaceTiming her from Australia just to say, you know, I'm just here chatting away to you. And my sister walked in and said, I've got a surprise for you, ma'am, you know, and it was clear and body. So I got to see it live as well I've had the video as well. So it's, priceless, really.
That's brilliant. All that is there for forever, which is great.
Yeah.
So that was quality time. That was lovely. Unfortunately, then, Darren, you know, your mum was deteriorating, and with, I suppose, lockdown getting worse and worse and restrictions in place, you didn't make it back in time. You weren't there for the funeral either. And then, Claire, you were there, and you witnessed how horrible it is when people can't be surrounded by their loved ones at a time of grieving. And then you had to come back, and you weren't allowed to come back into Australia, or were you, or what happened?
Yeah, so we, Jer passed away, and we stayed for the funeral, and I then spent some time with my own family, which was obviously important. I hadn't been home for 3.5 years. And when we started to look at the return flights home, we looked at them, but we were sort of, I suppose I was just trying to gather everything that had happened in the last few weeks. And it was, you know, losing anyone is hard, but, you know, losing someone that you love so much is, you know, really, really hard. Along with that, I suppose I'm a new mum with, you know, Corey was 11 weeks old when we were over there. Mm. So he was a tiny baby in a harness. And, you know, I was still trying to get to grips with just being a mum and jet lag and emotions and loss and, you know, everything.
Lots going on.
And when we looked at the return flights, originally coming over when we left Australia to go to Dublin, we only booked the flights 2 days before we left. We just booked the flights. We got permission to leave the country, which we had to apply for, like Darren was saying, and booked the flights and we left. No problem, no issues. It was double the price, but that was fine. That was, you know, we expected that. And then coming home, that's when we really realised we were in a bit of a pickle. So
from the day you left Darren in Brisbane to come over to see Darren's mum till the day you got back. Now, I know there was two weeks quarantine when you got back, but just to the day you landed in Brisbane, how long was that?
It was 85 days.
85 days, right. Which is 12 weeks and a day.
With the extra 14 days in quarantine, it was exactly 99 days when I seen them.
Wow. From
the day they left to the day they came back into my arms, really.
And that's a big thing, Darren, isn't it? Like, he was a stranger to you, really, at that stage.
Yeah, like, the thing is, like, at 10, 11 weeks old, you're only getting used to being a father, number one, and, you know, dealing with a child, number two. But when he comes back and he's, you know, nearly 6 months old, he's a totally different child, you know, totally different.
Yeah. And that experience of Claire and Corey in quarantine, and I'm like, some people say that the Irish government could learn from this. So you describe it, Darren. So you arrive back, they arrive back into Brisbane Airport. What happened then?
Oh, look, I wasn't a happy person that night, to be honest. A couple of people got an earful from me. There was just a few things. Like, we knew they were going into quarantine. It is what it is here in Queensland. They've been very good at what they do. They're keeping people safe. Like, 2 weeks compulsory quarantine just stops the spread of COVID here, is the way they see it. And it seems to have worked, you know. But when they landed, you don't get any notice of where they're going and what hotel they're going to. So organising to get stuff to them is very difficult. I got a phone call from Clare in a panic. You know, they're sending me to the Gold Coast, which is an hour and 45 minutes outside of Brisbane.
Right.
So not only did you do a 32-hour flight all the way from Ireland to Australia, you're now getting on a bus with a 5.5-month-old baby and you're going to be shipped down the Gold Coast another hour and 45 minutes, you know, at 11 o'clock at night. I was livid. I was really livid now, I have to say.
And Darren, the hotel is state-controlled.
Oh, yeah. Police guard the exterior of the hotel and the army control how everything gets to the rooms. Now, saying that, it's very well organised and very well done. The guys that were there were pretty compassionate of everyone's situation. But, like, day one, I rocked up with a couple of things for Claire. You know, the additional nappies and some toys for Cordy to be able to be entertained in the room. And there was nobody on the front door. And I thought, right, just walk into main reception. And I got within 5 feet of the door. And I thought I was going to be killed, you know.
Yeah.
The three cops came out of nowhere. Stop, stop, stop. You go in there, you're staying in there for 2 weeks.
Wow.
And out popped an army guy, took everything off me, fully masked up. What room are they in? Who's it for? And that's just the way it was for a two-week period. You walk up, you hand over items for your family or loved ones, and they took it off you and brought it up, knocked on the door and left it outside the door for them.
And Claire, were you allowed out for fresh air, for a walk around the place?
Yeah, Ray, I got the whole of 45 minutes in 2 weeks, which was, you know, amazing. In that, I got a 20-minute after, I think, day four. I got a 15 and then I got a 10. To be honest, the first time I actually got out for fresh air, I thought it would be some fresh air and some sunlight. It was a covered in external balcony that was completely covered. It had a police tape with two tables that I pretty much just walked in a figure of eight, or walked in a loop. No sunlight. And I was escorted down there by the police from the front door. I wore my mask, which was lovely fresh air through a mask. Corey didn't have to wear a mask, so that was a bonus, I suppose.
Yeah.
And then we were escorted out to the balcony, where I just stood there pretty much by myself and just walked around and round and round until she called me back in after 20 minutes. And to be honest, I went back up to the room, and that was, bar the first night arriving, which was pretty horrendous, I was a mess. That was probably the second time I think I really broke down. And I actually felt like a prisoner, to be honest.
Yeah,
with you.
Yeah.
It was tough.
As I said, it worked for them. So when finally did you get to see each other, and when did you become a family unit again, Darren?
It was the Friday, literally a week late, 2 weeks after they landed, but it would have been Friday week backwards.
Yes,
But it was amazing, really amazing. Now, the only thing is they did delay it by an hour, which killed me. I was told to be there at 9, they didn't get out till 10, so I was nearly going to kill someone at one stage, you know. But it was good, it was really good. And the people who helped us get Claire back when the news stations over here got involved in it, they were there to see the reunion. They got great photos of us and a great video of us, so it was really good. So.
And what was that first hug like, Claire?
Oh, it was pretty amazing. I was pretty nervous actually to see him again. I felt like it was the first date all over again, the blind date all over again, except this time we had a baby.
And 10 years later, I don't look like Hugh Jackman, I can guarantee you that.
Did you ever, is the question.
No, I don't know what she was looking at, to be honest with you, right?
I was saying, you know, earlier on, that it's a real circle of life story, all in 6 months. And the story that you'll have for Corey, and the photos and the videos, not just the homemade ones, but the new 7 ones from the Australian News Network, it's going to be very special at some stage in the next, what? When would you do that? When he's 5? When he's 6?
His 21st birthday.
His 21st birthday. Yeah.
Like nothing like, you know, I'm looking forward to that day now, you know.
Yeah. So you've no plans to come back, have you, Claire?
Well, we, with COVID at the moment, we don't. We would have loved to get back next year. For my sister's actually getting married, but she's actually moved the wedding forward to December now, because nobody really knows, you know, what's going to happen. So her wedding was actually canned in June. So she's decided to get married in December, which I've wanted to go back home to Ireland for a Christmas for a long time. But with COVID and after that experience of mandatory isolation, I couldn't do that.
Yeah.
I couldn't do that again. And I couldn't be apart from Darren again. So we'll never go home
separately again. And Darren, we had a woman on recently whose daughter is in Australia. And she was saying before COVID, she had it in her head that Australia was only 24 hours away. She could get there in 24 hours from, you know, door to door. And now she says with COVID, it's like it's on a different planet. And the separation between herself and her daughter is a lot more, and it's a lot more difficult to deal with.
Yeah, look, I think for me, the opportunity is taken away from you. You don't have the opportunity to go at the drop of a hat anymore.
Yeah.
Like in January when I went to see my mother, me and Claire spoke on the Thursday afternoon and I flew out on the Saturday. That's just impossible now. For anyone who's going to go through, you know, hardship or the loss of a loved one or the possibility of loss of a loved one, you know, I really don't envy them, because I know how difficult it is, number one. And now you have COVID in the mix, getting home is just going to be so difficult. You know, getting out of country from Australia alone is hard.
Yeah.
Let alone trying to get across the planet to the other side to go and see the people you want to see, you know.
Yeah. An amazing story. Commiserations on the death of your mum, Darren, and congratulations to you both on the birth of Corey. And mind yourselves out in Brisbane, and we'll talk to you again at some stage. Thanks, Darren. Yeah, thanks, Claire. Thank you.
Sounds great.
Thanks, Ray. Thanks.